This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building right in downtown Manchester. And it is a gorgeous Wednesday, hump day as some people call it. And we have a great packed show today. We actually have a, it actually looks like a picture sitting on our counter at the moment.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It doesn't even look like it's edible. It looks so beautiful.
It's taking every ounce of willpower that I have to not dig into the six pack of beautifully decorated Frederick's Pastries cupcakes.
They're gorgeous.
That are here. Yeah, they really are. But I will be broken down at some point.
That's okay. And you can be broken down for me.
Yes, I will do that.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
Your willpower, I mean, I haven't known you that long, and I don't know if you were always a person with willpower. Maybe not with food, but other parts of your life, I don't know.
Well, you know, it depends. It depends on, you know, what mode I'm in, what frame of mind I'm in.
Sure, right.
You know,
emotionally, what's going on,
yeah.
Right?
But right now, I'm in the mode. I actually was at Lowe's last night, and I bumped into Rocco, which
did
was
you
good
really?
Because I had questions for him.
Funny.
And, of course, he, you know, yelled at me that I didn't call him with the questions, but it was all good. We settled it all in aisle number four in Lowe's.
Aisle number four.
But, you know, my steel-cut oats this morning in my blender. I just didn't blend it enough.
Is that what it was?
That is exactly what it was. I don't know what I did the day before. I don't know. I wasn't thinking or whatever. But today I made sure I blended it. I mean, there was very little at the end, you know, which I'm sure is
talking about
normal.
A smoothie, right?
My smoothie with my scoop of protein, half a cup of steel-cut oats, and water.
No vanilla ice cream in there.
And blueberries. I'm sorry.
And blueberries.
No vanilla ice cream. No,
some antioxidants.
No.
Well,
and you know
good.
What I started my day off doing? Because I work out 3 days a week at Integrity.
Right.
And, you know, I just feel like I should be active on the other days. And I'm pretty active. You know, I mean,
you have a busy
I don't
life.
Just sit and do nothing.
You're not
I mean,
a couch potato.
No, I'm not. Yeah. But I still kind of feel like I should be up and doing something. I do have my Wii, but, you know, now it's nice outside. I don't want to be inside in front of the TV.
Right.
You know, so my friend Ian Dalton over at the Spa Within, she was telling me that every morning she goes and walks at Doors Pond, you know, at Livingston?
Oh, yes. Right.
And, you know, I thought, and she's like, come with me, you know, I go with a friend and, you know, da-da-da. We do it in so many minutes and I'm, you know, right off I'm like, whoa, I don't know how long they've been doing it. And I'd like to take Molly with me, you know. So I didn't tell her I was going. I went today and I went after her. She was there at 7, I think, and I went a little bit later. And have you been there?
I used to live actually not too far from there, but I've never really frequented it that much.
Well, I mean, I grew up in Manchester.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been to Livingston Pool when I was a kid. And, you know, the last time I was there, I'm telling you, was when I was skating on the pond when I was a kid. That I have not been there in that long. I mean, I've driven by, you know, it's all new and, you know, well, it's been a few years now. What a nice place.
Yeah, they've fixed it up. Very nice.
Really?
Very scenic. You never know that you're in the city.
No.
In some parts of the walk.
I mean, I took Molly, and, you know, and one you know, route around is 1 mile, exactly.
Okay.
And I started with one. I did one. And I wasn't quite sure of my timing and stuff like that. And but I did one around just to get my bearings and, you know, just to get an idea. And Molly, of course, was having a ball with all the dogs that were coming.
Now, do you keep her on leash when you...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have your dogs on leash when you're there. But, yes, no, Molly's always on a leash. And unless she gets snuck out of the house. But the fence, so we got home and then we
did
some training.
All right, so people don't know about this.
No, Molly's a little 5-pound dog, my 5-pound dog, and we just put an invisible fence at home. So when we got back from Doors Pond after our walk, I said, well, let's go do our you know, daily training. And I think it's starting to work.
Did they have to adjust the signal strength of it? Because you thought maybe it wasn't strong enough.
Well, the next day when we went out, it was zapping her.
Okay.
So I don't know. It's kind of strange. But today, it would start to beep, and she went right away.
So that's the idea. There's a beep before you get the electrical shock. And once they realize the shock is coming after the beeps, they stop before they even get to the border.
Exactly.
That's okay. I like it. I like it now.
Today, I actually was seeing that, oh, my gosh, I think this is working. Mm-hmm. Like, she would go next to it, and she'd kind of sit there and hear it. And then she'd just run back. And, you know, and our your cue that you're supposed to say is watch out, so...
Well, good.
Yeah.
So it's been a good, productive day for you so far.
It has. I think I already have like almost 5,000 steps in, so that's really
good.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, we should set a treadmill up over in your station there,
could
actually work on the treadmill while you're doing the show.
I could.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, really?
Here's Carol.
Everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Breathing
heavy. What is Carol doing?
Yuck.
Well, I can't. Well, actually, my day was pretty productive. Got some really cool people lined up for the show this weekend. Next.
Exciting.
I was brought back to my childhood when I parked my car here in downtown Manchester. I was, even though I didn't grow up here, I saw a truck delivering food to, I don't know if it's a convenience store, on Merrimack Street, a little further east of where we are, just past JW Hills. But it was a truck delivering Good Humor ice cream products.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
I didn't have time. I wanted to talk to the guy just to see what he knew about the history of Good Humor. I mean, he was a young guy, so you know what? Probably not much. Probably doesn't care. It's a job. But I just wanted to share what it meant as a kid when the Good Humor ice cream man rang that bell and came up your street. Now, of course, you have these giant trucks that play this god-awful music that's just...
The kids love it,
it's horrible. And instead, we have the ding, 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 you know, the bell. So that's probably just as bad. But, you know, ice cream was, and again, we're going back. Yeah, I'm an old guy. Going back probably 40, 50 years was, you know, 15, 20 cents for something on a stick.
Yeah.
And now it's what, $3-4 probably?
Oh, probably is. $2.50, $3 anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I remember? I think this was Good Humor. Remember the picture of the face? It was like a face made out of ice cream with the two, you know, there was like two, you know, for the eyes, it was like two little candies. I'm pretty sure that was Good Humor.
Was that Good Humor?
I don't know. Well, maybe not. I'm thinking it was, but
yeah,
maybe not.
But did you have an ice cream man in your neighborhood?
Oh, yeah.
And did he come every day?
Oh, yeah.
I
hear the bell.
I don't see him every day anymore.
Every day. You know, maybe it was just the weekends. I guess maybe I don't remember.
And did you have, like, one particular day that you were allowed? Because we couldn't get it every day. It was, okay, Tuesday's the day. Everybody behaves and eats their dinner. When the Good Humor guy comes, you can have an ice cream.
Now, was it a Good Humor ice cream truck?
Yes, it was.
Oh,
it was.
Okay.
It was a white truck, and it had the signature chocolate coated vanilla inside on a stick ice cream, which was pretty much their signature product. And then, they expanded to ice cream sandwiches and nut crumbles and the whole deal.
Right.
But it was definitely very iconic back then. And so when I saw that truck today, I thought, oh, my God, I haven't thought about Good Humor in ages.
You know where they have those little coolers? I noticed them is when you go into Rite Aid. They have little Good Humor ice cream coolers with the Good Humor stuff in
it. And they're still here. I need to research why they call it Good Humor.
Yeah,
there's probably a reason for it.
Yeah.
I'd be curious, why Red Arrow? Where did that name come from?
You know, I have asked the original owner that question and the son.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the one thing that they do say, before it was Red Arrow, which was 1918, I guess it was a automotive place.
Oh,
and it was something with arrow, but not red, but it was something with arrow. And that's all that I can really
We're talking over on Lowell
out.
Street?
On Lowell Street. Lowell Street's the only, that's the original one.
Oh, right.
And yeah.
So that was 1918.
1918.
For that business. And then, of course, it became a restaurant
Then
in
it became
1922.
It was a cart. There was literally a cart in the, you know, right in that slot. And then they made it a diner. Yeah.
That's
in 1922, the Lamontines made it into a diner.
That's pretty cool. So it would be interesting, and maybe there is no answer as to why it is ultimately called the Red Arrow, but there probably is a connection with the previous business.
Right, I think so. That's what they say.
Yeah.
They say the connection with the automotive. And, you know, we have John Clayton, the historian, coming in. So maybe we can...
That's true. Next Tuesday, John Clayton, former columnist for the Union Leader, and he's author of, I think, 7 books, and his thing is the history of Manchester, so he's now working for the Manchester Historical Association. Perfect. So we asked him to do a little homework about some of the history of dining and the food culture in Manchester, and I think he'll be prepared to do that. Maybe I'll drop him a note and ask him to see what he can find about the Red Arrow.
That's
because he may be able to go into the archives, into
the
stacks or whatever, and get an answer.
Exactly.
Which, you know, I'm sure you will appreciate.
I would love it.
So very much looking forward to that. Speaking of carts, which I think you mentioned, it was a cart before it became, you know, a sit-down indoor diner. I was in Concord 2 days ago, and they are redoing Main Street. they're doing the North End right now, which is just, you know, creating havoc, although it's very orderly. I'm writing a magazine piece about it, so that's why I was there. But I got to meet the lady who has the hot dog stand called Puppy Love.
Ooh.
Her family has had this, you know, sidewalk, street level business for 39 years. And she is, gosh, I don't want to guess her age, but, you know, she's not a kid, and she has continued to keep the business going. And I was there, okay, like at 3 o'clock trying to interview her. Car pulls up, kids with Catholic school uniforms jump out. Oh, got customers. It was a little treat after school. They got to come and get a hot dog from the Puppy Love food cart.
And she's been doing that for 39 years? Well,
the business has. She hasn't.
But the business.
Her parents started it, what, that would have been, what, 1975 or something like that?
Wow.
76. So there's lots of interesting food stories and businesses out there for sure.
It definitely is.
So anyway, well, I think we need to, do we have a food holiday first before we dive in?
Well, the food holiday today is National Apple Pie Day.
Okay.
It
may not be fancy or sexy, but, you know, I'll take a good piece of apple pie any day.
A nice home. My mother makes a great apple pie with maple syrup in it.
Oh.
And it's really good.
I like that.
She makes
And we're not talking Mrs. Buttersworth. I'm sure that mom uses the real deal.
She uses the real thing.
Right.
She does. It's also National Fruit Cocktail Day. Remember fruit cocktail?
Yes. That was,
Ooh.
I'm going to pass on that.
I know.
With the little chunks of peaches and pears and the cherry and the grapes.
I remember getting that in school lunches.
Yeah. Ugh. Why anybody would eat that now? I mean, there is no reason for it.
No, there isn't.
Get rid of it.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Well, we've solved a few problems of the world today.
Right, we did so far.
Very good.
Let's go on break and get Sue Alozier Robert on of Frederick's Pastry.
Yeah. Can't wait to have her on.
You can dive into that box, which looks like a masterpiece.
We need to take a picture of it first.
We do.
For the Food for Thought Facebook page, we would love you to like it so that you can see it every day and see what the guests are coming on and some pictures that Carol takes. She'll be taking some very shortly of me putting my face right in the middle of that box and see what happens.
Well, I'm dying to ask her about purple velvet.
Oh.
Did you see that?
I didn't realize it was such a compelling part of her bakery life.
I know. It sounds like something that they, well, let's go
we'll
to
let
break
her tell
and let's
the
find
story.
Out. That's right. All right. Stay tuned. You're listening to Food for Thought. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. You are listening to 107.7 WTPL-FM. You can stream us live on WTPLFM.com, and it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And before we welcome our first guest, Mike's going to give a shout-out to some of our sponsors.
I am, including Casey's Rib Shack, famous hickory-smoked award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue. It's ribshack.net. That's a great website. It's almost as good as pastry.net. Which is a good one. And Red Arrow Diners, Manchester Milford, and now open the new drive-through restaurant in Londonderry right off exit 5 on 93. Yes, they've dipped their toe into the water of drive-through service. And so far, so good, right?
Yes, very good.
RedArrowDiner.com. That'd be a tough one to pull off in Lowell Street, though, wouldn't it?
It's funny because there is a window there that it could kind of do it, but no.
Let's talk, because we have this beautiful six-pack of cupcakes that not only I know are delicious, but are beautifully decorated. We'd expect nothing less from Frederick's Pastries. Sue Alozier Robert is the owner. This is the business started by her family. Her dad, you see the iconic, in fact, still on all the marketing and all the branding, still has a picture of her dad with the big white chef's hat and the mustache that he, I assume, hasn't been shaved off yet.
I think. Mm-hmm. He still looks like that, even.
Yeah, it's just white. I mean, he's pretty much all white now, right? His hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he get that from you or from running the business?
I'm going to go with the business.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, now see, my dad is fully white hair, and everybody asks me that, and I it's because of me.
So I've known you a long time, but I mean, mostly seeing you at events and things and a few other places. And it's always great to see you because you give me great treats.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. But what Carol and I both didn't realize until we dug in a little bit is that you are not a fan of red velvet cake, and so much so that you've kind of started your own purple cake. And it looks like you've trademarked it as well.
I have. It actually went through registration, so I've got the big R to put next to it.
So what's the deal? When I saw you interviewed or heard you interviewed, I detected a little attitude about Red Velvet Cake.
Well, I've never been a fan of Red Velvet, even as a little kid and growing up. And the more I get into the industry that I'm in and seeing it made and stuff, it just never really appealed to me. It was never something that my father enjoyed either, so I probably get that from him too. Didn't want to make it. You know, it was always no when customers asked.
But isn't it popular with customers? I mean, did you have customers asking for it? Because I myself like Red Velvet. I do. But I'm sure this purple velvet must be...
Right. Well, you know, the history of Red Velvet a long time ago was the food coloring and the way that it was made. And when the FDA came along and said that red food coloring number 5, the dye is no longer edible, it changed the formula for what a traditional red velvet cake is. So the red velvet that you have now is nothing like it was years and years and years ago. So when that all happened, I really don't know if that was before my father's making it or not, but it was a history that he knew of. And him not enjoying making it, I think I just kind of stuck with that same mentality. And we definitely have customers that have come in and asked, and we do make red velvet cake. It's just not on our menu. We'll make it for a wedding. We'll make it for a large party, but we won't just make like a cupcake or one cake just because it's something that's not on our menu. And we feel like you can find it in enough places that we can brand out and be a little bit different. And purple has always been my favorite color ever since I can remember. As you mentioned, my father and the logo, everything will always be the same logo. It'll always be navy, but the accents will now all be purple.
So what is different about purple velvet? Like, is there a certain taste to it? Is it a different...
For us, yes, because I don't know of anyone prior to us making it. So it is 100% our own formula from scratch up. So I don't really have anything to compare it to. It is definitely different than red velvet, other than obviously color. It's a pound cake, so it's more dense. Mm. But it's traditional with the cream cheese filling like you would find with red velvet, and we top it with buttercream, which some red velvets have cream cheese filling and frosting or buttercream, so we do both. So okay. It's a little bit different. And, I haven't found, I've seen lots of people, you know, try to make a purple velvet. Nothing that is the same as ours, of course. I've had people from across the country call me and ask me, you know, I'm a chef in Florida and I really have a bride that wants her cake to be purple and I've tried, I just can't figure it out. Can you tell me how to make purple velvet? And I'm like, sorry.
Proprietary.
Sorry, I really don't know where you're calling from, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, you're not going to like to hear this, but I actually had red velvet pancakes last summer at Scituate Harbor.
Sweet red velvet.
That sounds cool.
Pancakes.
Yeah.
You need that.
Yeah. Well, no, we need purple velvet pancakes.
Yeah, yeah. But it almost looked
so
like
cool.
It was kind of a beet color because it's not the same as cake, you know, texture.
Yes.
I mean, even though pancakes are kind of a cake, but it was honestly, it was not that appealing looking, and it was fine. It was a little denser, a little bit heavier.
Yeah.
So I didn't need anything else the rest of the day, but
that's funny.
It is.
I have not seen that.
No. Well, I think it was a menu special of the day type of thing.
Well, you know, right now with the diners, with the three locations and my management team and myself, we needed to come up with a new round of specials. So we're all vying right now. So.
Oh, really?
There you go.
But it was good. And I think they were making a bunch of my salmal coming out of the kitchen. So I did post a picture of it on Facebook. This was last summer. And people were saying, oh, that looks disgusting. But then again, it was a picture and not the real thing. So this business begun by your dad and your mom, Gloria and Frederick, in the garage.
Yeah, Nashua.
Why did they start a business like that? I mean, was there something that your parents were doing already that they didn't like to do, or were they baking people before that?
Well, my dad actually got most of his training or figured out his calling in the Army. And when he got back, he apprenticed in the University of Maine in Orono and has just been in so many fabulous places and taught at CIA and Johnson & Wales and, you know, 4 kids later ended up in Nashua as the culinary arts instructor at Nashua High School and really, you know, was struggling. I was the youngest of the 4 and, you know, my mom was home as much as she could be. And so they decided to start a business. And Frederick's is what it came to be. They were, you know, at that time it's called Frederick's Pastries because they made absolutely anything, breads, muffins, whatever the customer wanted, they made. So they turned our single car garage into a bakery to really supplement his income. So my mother was actually doing the baking while he was at school, and he would come home and he would decorate and all that teamwork type of stuff and on the weekends. And so after, you know, we opened in 1980, and in 1987, we actually moved out of the garage. So for 7 years, they were in the garage, and he was mostly wholesale, you know, doing weddings and torts and things for hotels and restaurants, much less than retail being in a neighborhood situation that we were in. And in 1987, he decided, you know what, we're going to try it. He took a year sabbatical from teaching, and we moved to across the street from where we are now in Paul's Way in Amherst into a little 1,200 square foot unit, and grew out of that in 2 years, and are now in the building that he purchased then, 101A in Amherst, that is, you know, 5,400 square feet.
And that was in 87?
That was in 89 that we moved into that building, yeah. So he, you know, just jumped with both feet and said, what do I got to lose? I'm not looking back. And so with my mom on his side, you know, she did all the books, did all the baking, he did all the PR, he did all the decorating. And then, you know, we've brought in some fabulous people that have obviously grown with us along that
way. Yeah, you've got some long-term employees,
yes,
which I know is key, and I know, Carol, that you do as well.
Well, I opened. I bought mine in '87.
Oh,
Red
neat.
Arrow. Yeah, I didn't realize that.
And you have some original 1987.
Yeah, I do.
And those people are gold for the most part. You know?
Right.
They
absolutely.
Are. They definitely are.
They would do anything for you.
No.
So, I was losing my train of thought here. Oh, I know. I saw that you guys did an audition tape for Cupcake Wars.
Oh yes, that was fun.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people have tried, and you sometimes wonder how they get on, but who helped you produce it? Because clearly it was meant to be seen by casting people the way that you guys were just kind of having fun, and you were probably encouraged to do that.
Yeah, actually our photographer, Jeremy, Earl Studios, who does all of our photography work, did the video for us. He's a videographer of food, big into food pictures and photography.
A stylist kind of.
Yeah. He does all of our work, all the photos and stuff that you see on our website, and all of our, for all our print and everything. He's fabulous, and he came in and helped us out with that. And that's just a sweet and sour story for me. I loved the Cupcake War idea. I really didn't want to be on the show to save my life. But, you know, Jen, who was in the video with me, was really eager for it. And they actually did call us back and wanted us to produce a second video, and she was in Disney at the time. And they would not allow me to do that video with anyone but her because they wanted our chemistry.
Oh.
And so I think by saying, you know, she's not here and how can I do that, I think it kind of probably sealed that one shut. You know, it's the Food Network. They have that, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. I don't know how that would have gone because, you know, as awesome as it would be to be on that show, I think we might be, you know, not to brag, but a little too big to be able to take that time out, because to lose somebody like Jen in production and what we're doing day to day, and for me to fly off somewhere and to, you know, say I'm going to do 1,000 cupcakes in a half hour, sure.
That's a big commitment.
It is a big commitment to leave behind to say, well, who's doing, you know, who's running the show at home?
Right.
And, you know, I have an incredible staff, and it would have worked out perfectly, but I wasn't sad to see that I didn't have to go.
Sure, right.
Now, does Dad go in daily anymore? Or?
No. I purchased Frederick's from my parents. It'll be 11 years and a couple months. And he, in the beginning, yes, I think he was a little worried that I was going to change some stuff and make it no longer Frederick's. But the key to Frederick's Pastries is obviously Fred and the history that we have. And I've worked there since 1989, so there really isn't anything I know. I went to school for accounting. So he was really smart in laying that plan out. So I can bake anything that we make and really not going to have the skill to change it too much more than that. I don't spend most of my time trying to figure out ways to change it. I just improve and create new items. So
you sometimes, like in January, February, though, isn't that kind of the time when you're incubating some new ideas, when things are a little bit slow? And as you put it, somewhere, it's like watching paint dry those couple of months. So is that when the creative juices get flowing?
Definitely. You know, we've got such a broad line now that we really hold off on creating something new from scratch. We really want to take what we already have and make new items with it. So we spend a lot of time, you know, and of course in the cake world, it's design as well. So making the displays to show the new designs and the new color trends and stuff is, you know, a full-time job in itself, just trying to keep up with the knot and, you know, Pinterest and all of those lovely things that have been created.
Pinterest, isn't that crazy?
I know.
I just discovered that like a month ago.
I'm sorry.
I know. It is like crazy.
It is.
I mean, all these boards and pins and this, you know, when I was hearing about it, I was like, I have no time for that.
Yeah, you
but
really
now
don't.
I kind of got into it. And well, my social media, you know, Food for Thoughts, Facebook is attached to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's always sending me, but we just pin this and pin. I'm like, pin what? Like,
yeah, I'm with
man,
you.
Man,
I'm with you on
oh
that.
My gosh.
Yeah, I'm totally with
so
you.
So I should
that.
Avoid it, right? Because it's pretty much a time sucker.
Oh,
it's,
yes.
Yeah.
What did people do with their time before Pinterest?
I know.
The
I
things
know.
We could cure.
Yeah. You know, I wish I'd have known that you were doing this promotion 35 years. If you had a birthday in April and my daughter Liz was born April 7th, 1980.
Yeah. Well,
and,
we owe you a cupcake.
Well...
Here you go.
All right. Well, there's six of them. Actually, we had sextuplets, so... But that was a nice promotion. Anybody that could come in and prove they were born in April of 1980 received a free cupcake.
Yeah, we have all kinds of fun things going on.
Oh, that's neat.
That'll be going. Yeah, we started it however many weeks. Anne, who does our marketing, is fabulous, and she counted so many weeks in, so we started at the amount of weeks to take us through the rest of the year, so we end on the 35th week, which will be the end of December.
What was the actual day of the founding, if you have
April
one?
30th, 1980.
April 30th, oh, okay.
Yeah, it was our registration, new first order day, whatever you want to call it back then.
Things never changed. The car never got parked in the garage again.
No, right? No. Never grew up with a car in the garage. Had to clean the snow off myself.
Well, we should take a break. Our guest is Sue Lozier-Robert of Frederick's Pastry. She is now the owner, buying it from her parents almost 11 years ago. And I want to find out what changes you kind of have made, even though we touched on that a little bit, and hopefully Dad and Mom have approved. And we'll be back. This is Food for Thought, Carol Lawrence and Mike Morin on The Pulse, WTPL.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Back, Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, and we are in studio with Sue Lozier-Robert of Frederick's Pastries, and she brought in this beautiful box of six cupcakes that, I mean, they're beautiful. It really looks like a picture. Looks
cupcake
like a masterpiece.
Wars. Those are all cupcake wars worthy.
Gorgeous.
We had the host on from that show, Justin Willman, a couple of months ago.
Nice.
And he's actually a magician by trade. That's what he does. But, you know, when you're trying to get in a showbiz, you go to a million auditions, and they were auditioning with nobody in particular in mind, and he was the guy that got the gig.
Good for him.
Yeah, he does a really nice job. All right, so what have you done different or changed to move Frederick's a little bit forward, even though you're trying to stay really true to essentially what your father built and what you believe in? But any innovations or anything that you've kind of done?
Probably the thing that people probably won't remember so much now, but when I, you know, when it was mostly my dad doing the marketing and everything, which, you know, obviously got us to where we are today, it was just a man's perspective. It was, you know, a lot of stainless steel and blue.
Yeah.
You know, the website was very black and white and very, you know, written in a man's perspective.
And your customer base is female.
It's mostly female, yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's definitely mostly female.
You need to reflect that.
Yeah, so I think, you know, as technology changed and as the internet came along and as Facebook joined and everything else, and, you know, back in the day, you printed one brochure, you printed 25,000, you used that brochure for a couple of years.
Right. Now
you know, and make sure you get the phone number right.
Yeah.
Right? But now, you know, you don't have to have those types of brochures. You can print... Really, you don't have to print anything because you can have so many other medias with everything that, you know, it was important to meet somebody like Jeremy and to have some pictures taken and to soften the look, which is why, you know, I added the purple, which, you know, the blue will always stay. He actually had more of a royal blue and I kind of made it navy because it didn't quite go with the purple. So I think I just, you know, geared it a little bit more towards who our customer is, which is obviously female. You know, we have a lot of men, a lot of great customers, but they're buying for their wives, their girlfriends, their daughters, more than themselves. You know, we have the true ones that are by each week for something sweet, but really, you know, they're taking it home and they're taking it to someone else as well. So I think probably the biggest thing, you know, when you go into the stores, all three are the same now. They're all purple with blue with the wood floor. There's still plenty of stainless steel on the work surfaces, but you know, the walls might be a little purple, you know, might be a little more purple on there. But yeah, you know, I think that that was probably the biggest thing. You know, there was nothing to change with the product. I mean, that would have been just silly on my behalf to even think about looking at the product. You know, if you bought a Black Forest 35 years ago, it's identical to the Black Forest today, down to the brand of butter, the brand of flour, the brand of cream cheese. You know, it's very well, implied and expected that if, you know, something comes in from a delivery and the cream cheese is not Philadelphia, don't open it and send it back. You know, it's got to be down to that level.
Consistent.
When you're baking from scratch, you know, and anything, you know, I don't want someone to look at me saying, well, I'm not doing anything different. Well, you kind of are if you're not using that brand. So, you know, you may not know you're doing it, but you really are. So it's really important that, you know, we pay attention to those kinds of things, as my father did then. Sure. So there really wasn't much to do with the product. You know, we've added some new stuff, like obviously Purple Velvet was something that I had added. But, you know, with other than keeping up with changes in styles for colors and you know, fashion, basically, for cake, because there's a lot of bling and a lot of fun stuff now. It was really just kind of softening it and changing, you know, who we marketed towards as technology changed.
Along those lines, about just keeping up with sort of trends and things to be relevant, which you need to be. I don't think you're a huge fan of let me see, Cake Boss and Ace of Cakes because it creates unrealistic expectations. I would guess that's the
reason. Absolutely. Yeah. The amount of people that bring in a picture that say, oh, you know, I want to get this, you know, whether they saw it on the show or not, they always bring up, oh, I would love to watch Cake Boss and, you know, I'd love to work here. Oh, it'd be great. And I'm like, sure, because, okay. You know, I get people that interview saying, oh, I love making cakes. I made one at home and it was the most funnest thing. And I was like, oh, you made one and how long did it take? And, you know, okay, well, you know, you have 400 and, you know, there's three of you, let's go, you know, this is today. So, you know, when you take the fun out of it and you put the pressure of, okay, listen, you know, it has to look perfect. And, you know, we also have to be a little quick about it. It changes the rules for what people think are fun. And those shows, I mean, come on, you watch them make 3 cakes in a half hour. Come on. And then you watched them accidentally drop it down the stairs. Sure.
I saw that
just
episode
so we could
of the
do
cake
it again.
Buzz. Yeah.
Sure. You know, the thing that's right about those shows is probably the dynamics between the family. That's probably a lot of fighting.
Right.
I can understand that.
Right.
Definitely. I mean, back in the day, it was my parents, my sister, both of my brothers, me. So, you know, I can remember that. So that's probably pretty true. But, you know, the reality of those cakes is just, you know, we don't use PVC piping. We don't start 3 weeks ahead of time. There's just so many things that we
right,
don't
then,
do.
Then how did you do the 50-pound cheeseburger for Phantom Gourmet?
All cake, frosting.
PVC piping.
No PVC. A really good wooden board to put it on.
Yeah.
But other than that,
and lots of fondant, huh?
All cake. Actually, we have not much fondant.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
No.
I mean, it's beautiful and everything, but you know, you have a customer and they get it and then they eat it and they're like, and I'm like, well, you wanted it. I don't know what to say. So, you know, we forewarn them. We have them try it.
Yeah.
You know, you try fondant. It's all pliable. You're in a tasting, and it's beautiful. It's like gum. It's great. And then you have your wedding cake, and it sat out for 4 hours during your reception. You go to cut it, and it, you know, you can't cut through it.
Plaster.
So you end up peeling it off, you know. And one thing that we do, I don't know what other people do, is we completely frost the cake first before we put it on. So when they do peel it off, it's a completely frosted cake. So so you at least aren't losing.
That doesn't ruin the frost job to pull the fondant off?
Oh, I wouldn't do it, you know, for displaying it. But when it hits the table, they can peel it off, and you have a fully frosted cake.
Seriously?
And it peels right off.
It does?
It's great.
I didn't know
it
that.
Yeah, right off.
Magic.
It's like that shell stuff that you can get on your, you can dip your ice cream in.
Right.
You know, that shells right up. It's just like that.
Carol, did you know that?
I did know that.
Oh, okay.
I actually used to decorate cakes. Nothing like what you do.
Sweet.
Yeah, but
well, in your downtime,
like nothing.
That
was years ago, believe me. But along the lines of you working with your dad for so many years, what is the best thing that he's taught you?
Oh my God, there's a million best things that both him and my mom have taught me. But I would say the consistency is key. It's just
quality and consistency.
You can't change it. Consistency is key. You know, if you don't worry about competition, if you're doing what you're doing right, people will come back. They might go and try, but if they come to you and your product is different each time, you're going to lose them.
Competition can only make you better.
It can
My
only
dad's
make you
always
better.
Said that
Absolutely.
To me.
So, you know, I just sit there, you know, it's good to be aware of what other people are doing, but, you know, you can't lose sight. And the other thing is, he's like, you got to keep it simple. I mean, that was his, the KISS method was probably the biggest thing that, that he preached. Keep it simple, because, you know, if you start making bread and you start making pies and we know, well, why can't you make me an apple pie? It's Thanksgiving. If you start spreading yourself too thin, you lose control of the quality and you lose control over, you know, who's doing what and how long you've had it and, you know, where it's going. So, you know, I think simplifying it and keeping it to just, you know, we're basically a cake place. We do some awesome pastries, but it should be Frederick's Cakes and Pastries.
Oh.
If you could fast forward 35 years and see where it was going to go. Mm-hmm. But you know, it didn't take him long before he figured out the niche of it being cake, but the name and the establishment, you know, everything was going. So it's
now, Mike, Frederick's have pastries. You ever tried? I was in the Bedford location. This was a little while ago, but I was getting, I think I was getting a cake for my granddaughter's something or other, but I saw those cannoli chips and dip.
What a great
Did
idea.
Did you ever try
I've
that?
I've seen the chuck covered potato chips, but I don't think I've done cannoli.
No. These are it's not even funny.
It's not.
It's like
not only
so
because
bad.
What's the worst thing about cannolis is when you get them? You get them and you eat them the next day and they're soggy.
Yes.
This takes all of that out. Now you have these nice chips. You leave them on the counter. You put your dip in the fridge. It doesn't matter if your party was today, if it's tomorrow, if there's leftovers. Your chip is always crunchy.
I got to stop you, Sue. Sue Lozier, Robert, thank you from Fredericks. We're out of time for the hour.
Oh, okay.
Hope to see you again. Thanks for the cupcakes.
Yeah, you're welcome.